This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, broadcasting from KPCC in Pasadena today. When the two American aid workers, one stricken with Ebola, left the hospital looking healthy, it sure made you think, wow, that drug they were given, whatever it was, really worked. Well, the drug is called ZMapp, but did the drug itself cure them? Or might they have recovered all the same without it? Tom Frieden, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, had this to say at a congressional hearing earlier this month.
You may have seen a lot of press coverage about experimental treatment, and the plain fact is that we don't know whether that treatment is helpful, harmful, or doesn't have any impact. And we're unlikely to know from the experience of two or a handful of patients whether it works.
It's hard to test the efficacy of the drug because we can't intentionally infect people with Ebola to see who's helped by the drug and who's not. But researchers have done that experiment in monkeys, and ZMapp cured 18 out of 18 monkeys, 100% of the monkeys infected with Ebola. That research was announced today in Nature. The National Institutes of Health announced yesterday that next week it would begin enrolling volunteers in a test of a new Ebola vaccine. Dr. Anthony Fauci is director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the NIH in Bethesda. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Fauci.
Good to be with you, Ira.
With a lot to cover here in different areas. Let's first talk about the testing program that is to begin next week. Tell us about that.
Well, it's a what we call a phase one trial for an Ebola vaccine, a vaccine that looked very good in an animal study, and namely monkey studies. It protected monkeys from lethal challenge with Ebola. It had not yet been in humans. So what we're seeing that's going to start the day after Labor Day here at the NIH is the beginning of an early small trial to determine safety and whether or not it induces the kind of response that you would predict would be protective. It's only going to involve 20 normal, healthy volunteers between the ages of 18 and 50, and safety is the paramount issue that we're looking at to make sure we don't have any unexpected reactions to this particular vaccine because, as I mentioned, this is the first time it's been in humans. It's the first in a multi-step process to developing a vaccine and showing that it's effective.
Is this the one that's being reported in Nature this week?
The one that's being reported in Nature is not a vaccine, Ira. What you were referring to before is that the paper in Nature was an animal study in monkeys in which the ZMapp monoclonal antibodies, or it's a protein that the body generally makes against a particular infectious agent. In this case, it was artificially produced. It's called ZMapp. It is the therapeutic that was given to the two Americans who came to Emory from the West African countries. And it has now been shown in this non-human primate monkey model that it was really extraordinarily effective in essentially curing the monkeys, even if given 5 days after they were challenged with Ebola. So as far as a monkey model goes, it looks very good. But again, as Tom Frieden said, when you just played that little clip of his from the hearing, really the proof of the pudding is to show in humans in a clinical trial that it's effective. But the animal data is certainly highly suggestive.
And so the vaccine that you're going to be testing next week, is that designed to be given to a general population as whole or to just people who might be first responders?
Well, in general, you'd want to target the people who are at the highest risk, namely those people who are, as you mentioned, first responders, healthcare providers, who are putting themselves in harm's way by taking care of people with this very contagious virus when you get into contact with the body fluids. It's not the kind of vaccine that you would want a general population vaccination like you would do with measles or mumps or rubella or things like that, but you would want to do it first to the healthcare workers and first responders, and perhaps if you do have a large enough outbreak, to certain segments of the population that might be coming into contact with people, and that depends on the nature of the outbreak.
Mm-hmm. Will ZMapp be tested further to see how well it works on people?
Well, ZMapp is, as you know, there are no doses of ZMapp left. They have to scale up to make it, and when it is made, it's going to first of all have to find out what's the right dose to give. Mm-hmm. and to see if, in fact, it is safe and effective. So a clinical trial will have to be done, hopefully as expeditiously as possible, because if it does work in humans, you certainly want to get it to the people who need it as soon as possible. But you have to prove that it works and that it's safe.
Why is it so hard to make it in larger doses?
Well, it's an interesting question, Ari. It is being made through a tobacco plant in which you have recombinant DNA technology inserted into the tobacco plant so that you can have it extracted from that particular vehicle. It is a relatively slow process. It's going to take another couple of months to have a modest number of doses. And the company is trying right now to figure out a way to scale it up so that you can have many, many more doses much more efficiently.
In your trials of the vaccine that you're trying out next week, are you asking for volunteers or do you have enough people?
Well, you always ask for volunteers. I mean, we do these kinds of studies all the time. We don't anticipate that we'll have any trouble for people who are volunteering for this. I want to emphasize to the listening audience that this vaccine has absolutely no chance of giving Ebola to anyone because it isn't the Ebola virus. When I say we're talking about the paramount issue of safety, we're talking about any adverse reaction to the vaccine, swelling or a hypersensitivity reaction or some sort of unexpected reaction. But what it is, it's a vaccine that really only contains a very small segment of the genetic material of Ebola that codes for one of the proteins that's an important protein that you want the body to make an immune response against. So there's no chance that the person who gets vaccinated in this trial could get Ebola from the vaccine.
So if people listening to us, they shouldn't start flooding your switchboard with, hey, I want to be part of that trial?
Well, no, we welcome volunteers. There's only 20 in the trial at first because, as I mentioned, safety is very important and you want to give it to a few people. The actual protocol calls for 3 people and then you wait a while to make sure everything is okay. Then you go to the next 3 people. You go to from a lower dose to a higher dose. You've got to do it very carefully in a step-by-step fashion to make sure that you don't give it to 20 people all at once and then you find out all 20 of them have some sort of reaction that's adverse.
Yeah, you hate when that happens.
Indeed.
is it true that the Ebola virus is similar to the flu virus?
Well, you know, it's true in a number of ways in that some of the therapies that are trying to be developed, these RNA polymerases that are being tested in a preclinical or animal model, can cross over and suppress some of the influenza viruses. But there's a really big difference in flu and Ebola. I don't want people to get that impression. Flu is transmitted by the respiratory route and Ebola is not.
What have we learned over the past 10, 20, 30 years about viruses and virology that allows us to seem to be moving pretty quickly on this?
Well, first of all, I think it has to do with a number of issues. Probably our ability to do extraordinarily rapid and sensitive and deep sequencing, as we call it. There is also a paper that has just come out that had shown that the molecular virologists from the Broad Institute and other collaborators have shown that they were able to sequence the species of Ebola from 78 individuals and were able to trace it by what we call a phylogenetic tree, that where it emerged from in 2004, how it spun off from one of the Central African species and then landed in Guinea and then from there to Sierra Leone. And they were literally able to show a roadmap of how the virus evolved. And they proved that it came from one point source, from a woman who had gone to a funeral and had touched the body of an individual. And that was the point source of the outbreak. So we know so much more about how these viruses spread now than we knew 10, 15 years ago.
Interesting. How much evidence do we need in the animal trials before we say this drug that worked so well in animals is ready for prime time and not just compassionate use? When does it become ethical to use it for a larger population?
Well, there are two things. It's a very important question, Ira. First of all, the animal model is so convincing. I don't need any more animal model as far as I'm concerned. It's ready now to go into a trial, a phase one trial in humans to determine the right dose and whether it's safe in a human. Because sometimes something looks good in an animal safety and then it's not particularly safe in a human. You can do that pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And then you have to balance doing a trial to determine efficacy at the same time that you get it in a way for people who need it pretty quickly. Now, one of the things that's going to allow us to do that is that there's never going to be enough doses for everyone who needs it, because the first lot that will come out is not going to be thousands of doses by any means. So what you could do is you could pretty much in a clinical trial figure out if it works by comparing it to people who don't get it. And that's something that will be done very quickly after you determine what the right dose is and if it's safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wish you luck, and I'm sure you'll be getting enough volunteers for your trial next week. And when would you know it's working? You know that it's how soon would you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. The safety and what we call immunogenicity data, namely, does it induce the right kind of immune response? We start the day after Labor Day. I would say by the early December, we would know the preliminary safety data and the preliminary immune response data. We're going to follow these people for 48 weeks, but by the end of November, beginning of December, we should have the information we need.
Dr. Fauci, as always, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
My pleasure, Ira.
Good luck to you. Anthony Fauci is director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the NIH in Bethesda, Maryland. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a black hole that's swallowing up X-rays. No need to fear here. We'll talk about what's happening there. Stay with us after this break.